Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto talking to you from Dallas, Texas. And today, of course, is Caucus Day, January the 3rd, 2008. And we've been, I guess some of us, been talking about this day for quite some time. It is the day where the people of Iowa will go to their caucuses. And I'm not very familiar with how caucuses work. In fact, later on, we're going to be talking with Rick Moran, and that's one of the questions I want to ask him. I know Rick is more familiar with this than I am, but we'll be talking with him later in the show. In the first part of the show, we're going to be chatting with our friend from Zogby, Fritz Weisel, and he is the person who talks to the media, if you will, at the Zogby polling organization. He's going to be calling in to talk a little bit about this particular caucus happening today in Iowa. You know, I wouldn't even know what to project. It's one of the things that I'll be talking to Fritz about, because one of the questions I've always had about these caucuses is how do you do a poll? Because at least in a general election, people get up in the morning, they go to work, or they go vote, and then you're home by 7. But with a caucus, it's exactly different. You don't even show up till 7. So it's a totally different process. And how exactly you get people to the caucuses, I guess, is one of those questions, one of those issues that I've always had a great deal of, if you will, question about. So we're going to get into, we'll talk to Rick Moran later about that. And also, I have some thoughts about this whole process of the caucus. I don't know how relevant it really is. I know that tonight the networks will go wall to wall with this, but you know, the reality is that if you look at these caucuses in the past, they have not been a very good indicator, frankly, of where the race eventually will end. And at least on the Republican side, you have Giuliani, who didn't even play in this caucus. I mean, he's not even going to be anywhere tonight. And then you've got, you know, Fred Thompson, who came in a little bit later. I've been getting all kinds of, you know, emails from people saying that Fred Thompson is going to be the surprise tonight, and other people say John McCain is going to be the surprise. I don't know. I think we can safely say, that either Mitt Romney or Mike Huckabee will be one or two. I think that it'll split. One of those two guys will be number one, and one of the two will be number two. That much I think we can safely say that it'll be Huckabee or Romney in the number one position and number two position. It's number three, I think. That's kind of the mystery. You know, who's going to get the third ticket out of Iowa? And it looks like it could be John McCain, who has been making an incredible, absolutely incredible surge. It's kind of funny to use the word surge with John McCain, because McCain bet everything on the Iraq surge, and it's so far, of course, it seems to have been a good bet politically, not only in terms of principle, in terms of supporting the effort in Iraq, but politically speaking, it seems to be helping him as well. So it does look like McCain is making quite a surge in Iowa, and then also you have the situation with Fred Thompson. I have to believe, I don't have any inside information, but just from what I'm seeing, I like to think that Fred Thompson is doing well, because there seems to be a lot of interest in him, at least from what I'm seeing in the messages and so on that I've been getting. So I guess those four will be the big ones tonight, Huckabee, Romney, or Romney-Huckabee, and then number three, it's either going to be Thompson or it's going to be McCain. If it is McCain, then I think he's setting himself up beautifully for New Hampshire, which is where I believe he's going to do very well. And in fact, there are some polls already indicating that McCain could very well win New Hampshire, which would be an amazing achievement, really, given where this man was 6 months ago. So I think that's, you know, those are my thoughts on the Republican side as we wait here for our friend Fritz to give us a call. And I think he's on the phone right now. How you doing, Fritz? Happy New Year.
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing just absolutely great. I know this is probably an extremely busy day for you. And so we don't want to take a lot of your time, but we wanted to at least get your thoughts, you know, on what's happening in Iowa. I was kind of saying that I felt, I feel on the Republican side that the only prediction I'll make is it'll either be Huckabee or Romney.
I think you're safe there.
Yeah, I think one of those two. It's sort of like saying that either the Red Sox or the Yankees will win the American League East.
Yeah, that's pretty easy too, isn't it? But what we're seeing on the Republican side is that Huckabee has had a last-minute surge the last 24 hours, and we just came out of the field late last night at 8 p.m. Central, and we found that, so I think we were the last major pollster to come out of the field, and we found him moving up from 28 to 31%. That's a pretty good one-day move. Our latest polling is based on a three-day rolling average. So yesterday's move is the result of what was happening in a third of that sample. So moving 3 points is a pretty big deal, and that's solid stuff. Romney dropped from 26 to 25, which is negligible considering the margins of error. So it's 31-25 right now. But again, with the margin of error, anything can happen, and it's all about turnout. And that means we're going to be looking at the Romney organization versus the passion that Huckabee's people have brought to the game.
Yeah, that's I was looking at I think one of the websites was carrying that news. And then on the Democrat side, you know, it's hard to predict, isn't it? It's even less or more difficult to predict because it's like a three-way tie. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, do you have any new information on that?
Yeah, in the last 24 hours, again, ending at 8 p.m. last night, we saw Clinton have really a rather bad day. She went from 28 to 24%. Obama had a very good day, moving from 28 to 31%. They were tied, and now Obama has a 7-point lead. We've got Edwards in the middle at 27% in second place. So Edwards and Obama moving up, Clinton fading a bit, and where she's lost some support is among women, where she's a little bit ahead, but not very much among women in Iowa now, and she trails badly among men. Only 16% of Democratic men say they're going to caucus for Hillary Clinton, and that puts her out of the ball game. But she does have some continuing strength in the caucus goers on the Democratic side who are age 50 and older, and that's really valuable for her because those, as we know, are the ones that more consistently do go out and actually go through the process.
Let me ask you just a couple of general questions about caucus or polling a caucus. I don't even understand. I mean, I've tried my best to figure out how these caucuses work, and, you know, as I understand it, people show up at a particular place at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, which is so different than an election, because if you're voting, you've got the whole day to vote, whether you go to work first or vote
right
after you go to work. So when you are doing your polling, that a caucus must be a very difficult thing to poll.
It is, and it, really quickly, because I've sat through caucuses, I've been in the rooms out there in the Des Moines area, 96 and 2004. And you're right, what happens is it's about a two-hour, maybe a longer commitment, and it has to be done in the evening, so it's a fixed time that you've got to commit. And what happens is everyone goes into the room from their precinct, Democrats and Republicans in different places, and then you kind of stand in corners and have yourself counted. And the Democrats have a two-step process. They do an initial count to find out who's supporting who, and any candidate who does not get 15% of the room in that first vote, that first tally, they have to go find another candidate because all those under 15% are deemed unviable. That's the phrase they use. And so those guys are essentially eliminated from the process. and you've got to go find someone else. And our polling shows that we're probably going to have three viable candidates, Edwards, Obama, and Clinton. So all the other supporters for the other candidates have to find, they essentially have to choose between Obama, Edwards, and Clinton. And so we actually ask that in our polling, who is your second choice, to be able to determine what's going to be happening there. Yesterday, it was just all three of them, when you factored in the second choices from the other unviable candidates, they were within 1 point. But now Obama's pulled ahead a little bit. Again, Edwards is a little bit ahead of Clinton and in second place, and Clinton trails even among the second-choice voters. So what we've seen is kind of a trend there, but that's how that works, and that's why it's a little more complicated, and there's a lot of horse trading that goes on, especially on the Democratic side.
Yeah, I was watching. In fact, John Zogby was on C-SPAN Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably one of those strange people that actually watches C-SPAN early on Sunday morning.
Oh, everyone does. And I should mention that our tracking poll here is a Reuters C-SPAN Zogby tracking poll. And it's a partnership we've developed for the entire year. But both those organizations are involved, and we're really pleased to be working together with them.
Yeah, those are good organizations. Because Mr. Zogby on Sunday was talking about this second choice. So what will happen tonight is that, let's say there's three, it'll add up to 100, right? I mean, because there will only be...
Essentially. The others will be knocked out. Now, in a very unusual development, it's possible that Richardson and Biden and Dodd and Kucinich could all move all their votes together. But even at that point, we're talking at less than 15%. So I guess if they were able to pull a Clinton percentage or an Obama percentage, they could become a fourth viable candidate. But, yeah, in the end, you're going to get 100% out of every precinct.
Yeah, okay.
And it's probably, our polling just shows, knowing how these things work, it's probably going to be a three-person race, Clinton, Obama, Edwards.
Let me ask you another question, too, because... regarding some of the issues, what are some of the issues or concerns that your polls are picking up when they talk to voters in Iowa? What are they interested in? I mean, what are voters saying? This is my concern. This is my concern. What are you picking up beyond the names of the candidates? Just some of the issues.
Yeah, the main issues on the Democratic side are different than the issues on the Republican side, interestingly. The Democrats are interested more in domestic issues. They want to hear more about education. They want to hear more about health care. They want to hear more about government services. They tell us they want a credible and a competent leader in the White House, and that's driving a lot of them. And that's why we've seen so much talk about experience in recent months, and Clinton has really focused on that. But the other thing they tell us is they do, regardless of all that, they do want a fresh face. They want someone new, and that's why I think Obama's in the lead. He's really been able to package that well. But that's not to say Edwards is not. He's doing very much the same thing, a new approach, and... So those are the main issues. On the Republican side, we hear more talk about national security, the war on terror, and the war in Iraq, finishing that.
And immigration, is that an issue?
Oh, it's a huge issue. But on the Republican side, it's not so much of an issue on the Democratic side, frankly. They don't think that it's as important in choosing your president, but it's a very important issue on the Republican side, and here's why. It's not at the top of the list, but everyone who tells us immigration is the most important issue is very intense about it, and so they are more likely to act on that belief than someone who may say the war on terror, for instance.
Now, just one quick question. It sounds to me like you have two parties who obviously have very different concerns. How do they reconcile that when they have to go to the general election? Because, I mean, the Democrats have got to understand that terrorism is a big issue with the public in general. And, of course, the Republicans understand that economics is a big issue. So at some point, these two candidates are going to have to come closer to the middle So who's going to have more disappointed supporters here, the Democrats or Republicans?
Well, there may be plenty of disappointed supporters on both sides of the aisle, but this is always the dance. How do you take and build a primary election campaign that can still be credible in the general election? And that's why I think you've seen some of the trials and travails of the Clinton campaign. They've been trying to almost run an inevitability campaign, almost a general election campaign here in the primary, and that may be behind some of their struggles, but it's very tough. But, you know, we do hold the primaries and the caucuses so early in the year that maybe by June or so, people start to forget about everything that was said. Of course, there's always YouTube to remind them later, and any campaign worth its salt will do so. But it's tough because our nation is fairly well divided still on all of the major issues of the day.
Let me ask you one last question, because I know you're a very busy guy today. But at what point tonight, I mean, with a general election or normal election, as I call it, usually by some time you begin to get these early, I forget what they're called, early reports where you've got people at the different stations, I forgot the name of whatever they're called, early tracking polls or whatever.
Well, exit polls. Don't do exit polls in Iowa. They do entrance polls. So you get one kind of last taste about what people are thinking as they go into the caucuses, but that's different than an exit poll where people tell you what they actually did inside. So those should be available sometime during the caucus process, which starts at 7. So maybe by 8 o'clock we'll have an early idea. But again, that's just like a final poll before everything starts, but it's an unusual neighbor-to-neighbor relationship sort of event, and things can change inside.
Yeah, and that, of course, only tells you what they plan to do. If you go in, let's say, planning to vote for Dodd, and he has less than 15%, then you're going to have to change once you're inside. So,
yes. Now, typically, as I mentioned, there's 15% support for the other candidates, plus 5% undecided. So you have wiggle room of probably 20%. But remember, about half of the caucus goers on both sides of the aisle also say they aren't absolutely positively certain they're going to end up supporting the candidate that they're favoring. So, you know, a lot of things can happen, and it's still too close to call.
Yeah. Well, Fritz, I want to thank you very much for giving us your time on an extremely busy day.
You bet.
I always enjoy getting your emails, and maybe when we do something else, another primary or another election in the future, we would love to touch base with you. Have a great day. Give my best to Mr. Zogby, and enjoy your day. I'm sure it's going to be a long night for you.
It is, and we're already, I should say, changing our focus, because tomorrow morning we're releasing our first tracking poll on New Hampshire. So we'll be able to fold in some of the results from the caucuses, but people can get the latest information on Zogby.com.
Yes, we really appreciate it. You guys do a great job. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Have a great day. Have a
you
great
too.
Day, Fritz. Of course, that's our friend Fritz from the Zogby organization, Fritz Weitzel, and always enjoy talking with him. And now I believe that our friend Rick is on the line. How are you?
Hey, Silvio. How are you doing?
Rick Moran, of course. All of you know him. He's one of my favorite bloggers, Right Wing Nut House. And, Rick, I thought I'd check with you today. If nothing else, you're closer to Iowa than I am physically.
Yeah. Physically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a couple hundred miles, I guess, from where all of this is. Well, how close is it, actually? It's right... It's
about
your
300 miles from Des Moines.
Oh, okay. So, well, it's like from here to Houston, I guess. How do you see it? I mean, how do you see the? I know you made. I believe you made some projections today,
yeah.
Or some predictions. How do you see it?
Well, what I wrote this morning, which could change by tonight. What I wrote this morning was, I think John Edwards has the juice to overtake Obama. I don't think as many independents are going to come out for Obama as he needs to win. About 54% of his support in Iowa comes from independents, and historically, you don't get a lot of independents coming to these caucuses. Now, I think he's going to do better than the historical average, but I don't think he's going to get enough to beat Edwards. So I'm looking at Edwards winning tonight. He certainly has the momentum. That's for sure.
That would be a big story, wouldn't it? If Edwards pulls this out, because a lot of people are projecting Obama. In fact, that's what Zogby just came out. You may have heard a little bit of that.
Yeah.
They came out with they do these 3-day averages, and then of course, Fritz himself said, "Look, this is all very fluid, very unstable. So you know, we have to be very careful how we project these things, because normally the margin of error usually is 3 or 4 points when they do these polls, but on a caucus like this, the margin of error is anybody's guess, you know."
Right. Well, I notice I'm looking right now at the Zogby site, and they've got. I'm sure you just talked to him. Obama 31, Edwards at 27. You'll also note that Edwards has been coming up, as has Obama, while Hillary's been going down. These are 3-day rolling averages. So, you know, they take 3 days at a time and then average it, and then the next day they average the previous 2 days plus that day.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. Almost verbatim, he was saying that Hillary had a very bad 24 or 48 hours that she had really dropped here at the tail end. Now, what about the Republican side? I mean, to me, it could either be Huckabee or Romney. How do you see it?
Right. Zogby has Huckabee slightly ahead of the margin of error. Not so the American Research Group, ARG, which also came out with a poll today that has them virtually tied. Here's the problem with Huckabee. Huckabee has no organization in Iowa to speak of. He is going to have to rely to get his people to the caucus sites. He's going to have to rely on churches and this fair tax group that is enthusiastically supporting him. Romney, on the other hand, has spent millions of dollars building this professional organization, including a get-out-the-vote organization that is probably the best in the state, from what I've been reading. So here you have two candidates basically tied as far as support is concerned. The question then comes down, who can get their supporters to the polls more? And it would have to be Romney. So I went with Romney. I think he's going to take it. I don't see Huckabee falling that much. He'll probably end up 4 or 5 points behind. And as far as third place, I have no clue. I have no clue. Fred is surging. Fred Thompson is surging. McCain is surging. Giuliani is tanking. Of course, he's not putting any effort at all into the state. And God knows about Ron Paul. Nobody knows about Ron Paul.
Yeah, that's the wild card, literally, in this whole thing is Ron Paul. Let me share with you. I have a couple of thoughts here about this whole process. You know, like anybody else, I enjoy talking about this, but I've never been a big fan of the Iowa caucus because it usually doesn't tell you a heck of a lot about what's going to happen in the future. But also, what I don't like about this process is that I think it exaggerates the candidacies like John Edwards and Ron Paul. I mean, there's no way that John Edwards is going to get the nomination. I mean, he couldn't even carry his own state if he was the nominee of the Democratic Party. But and in the case of Ron Paul, the same thing. I mean, I like Ron Paul personally. I mean, he's from Texas, and I've seen him a couple of times. He's a friendly fellow. I agree with him on some of his domestic ideas. But it just seems to me that these caucuses exaggerate the candidacies of people who are not going to be very relevant in 3 or 4 months.
Well, it's hard to say. Well, that's the whole thing about Iowa. See, it's all about expectations. If Edwards were to win, I think that makes him an automatic contender in New Hampshire. I think it's a 3-way race then in New Hampshire. Right now, Edwards is trailing badly behind Hillary and Obama. But if Edwards were to win, I think it would, as I say, make him a party to what goes on in New Hampshire. That's the whole point of Iowa, is this is exceeding expectations. Let's just say, let's pull something out of thin air here. Let's say Fred Thompson finishes with about 18 or 19% of the vote tonight, which is not impossible. let's that would be a shock. I mean, that considering right now he's at 11% in Zogby, about 13% in the ARG poll. The most I've seen is 15%. He's in that was the most recent some other poll. Anyway, the point is that you exceed expectations, and people sit up and take notice. So as far as now, Huckabee, if he wins, that'd be a shock. That'd be a shocker. Romney desperately needs Iowa. He spent about $8 million in the state, from what we understand. A lot of it his own money. And, you know, if Romney were to win after this challenge from Huckabee, he could very well run the table. That is, he could win every primary just about between here and as far as you can see. That's his strategy. It's been a strategy all along. And it's a good strategy, but Huckabee kind of threw a monkey wrench into it.
Yeah, and then there's Pakistan had something to do with it also, changing the or giving McCain a certain lift in all of this. So the way you see it is you see Edwards winning the Democrats and Romney winning the Republican. That's where the cheering is going to be tonight around 10 o'clock, I guess, Central Time.
Yeah.
They finally get all the votes counted. Now, I've heard that the Democrats could go real late because their process is more complicated. So do you think we'll have a winner by 10 o'clock tonight?
No, I don't. Not for the Democrats.
Wow.
As I'm sure the Zogby fella told you, they have several steps they have to go through before they get everything sorted out. So it should be interesting to see.
So that could be a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning deal.
I don't think quite that late, probably 11:30.
Okay, so it would be a little bit later, yeah. But the Republican, their process is fairly simple, right? They just count the votes.
Right. They just walk in and they, I guess they have to register, and then they sit down and they do this straw. It's just a straw poll, basically. It's a secret ballot. So, and then they leave.
You know. So their results could be available by 9 o'clock.
8:30. Yeah,
8:30?
Okay. I would guess 8:30 because I guess some are starting at 7, some are starting at 8. So you're gonna get you're gonna get them coming in for about an hour and a half there, the results. By the way, the best site to follow up to the minute results is the Iowa GOP site. And let me give you that URL because it's where I'm going to be. I'll tell you, I'm on the radio tonight. By the way.
Oh, okay. On which are you? Oh, you're on your own show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time are you going to be on?
I'm on 8 to 10 Central.
Oh, really? Okay.
Show.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to.
I got a whole bunch of guests. I got six, at least six right now.
All right. Well,
we'll coming
definitely
on at the 2-hour show.
We'll definitely touch base with you.
Well, you can call in if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you, Silvio.
Yeah, I know. I'd be happy to.
We got it's a Republican Party of Iowa is the name of the website. The address is www.iowagop.net. And they will have immediate caucus results. They're going to be the first ones to have the caucus results. So before even the media gets it, they're going to have it on their website. Although I imagine the media is going to be watching their website.
And then you'll be on at 8 o'clock, and you're probably going to be watching this website as well. So you'll be reporting some of that as well. Listen, Rick, we're kind of running out of time, but
sure.
I really appreciate your time and your input. It's always a lot of fun to read your website and to hear from you. And is it real cold in Chicago today?
Warmer than yesterday. Yesterday we didn't even make 20 degrees. So, but today I think we're in the low 20s. So we're all right today.
So you guys can handle that.
Yeah, no problem.
You have a great day, and thanks a lot for calling in, and thanks a lot for your input. It's always it's always a lot of fun to hear from you.
Okay, so you take it easy.
All right, bye bye, Rick. Well, that of course was Rick Moran, Right Wing Nut House. He's going to be on tonight, as Rick indicated. He will be on at 8 o'clock, you can go to the Blog Talk Network site, or you can go directly to Rick's website, Right Wing Nut House, and that'll connect you to the sound, or I mean the feed, as they call it in the industry. Well, that's going to wrap it up for January the 3rd. This is Silvio Canto thanking you very much for listening. We want to thank Fritz Weissel from the Zogby organization and, of course, our friend Rick Moran for his input on Iowa. Good luck to everybody. I hope the best man wins. I shouldn't say that because, of course, there's a woman running, but I hope the best man wins anyway. Have a great day, and that's just an expression, may the best man win. It's just an expression. It doesn't mean that I don't want Hillary to win, but anyway. I think our friend Rick is probably correct that Romney and Huckabee are going to be in a real tie there. And then, of course, on the Democrat side, as our friend Fritz from Zogby indicated, who knows? It's certainly too close to call. It's going to be exciting tonight to watch how all of this pans out. Have a great day, and we'll talk tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be, I guess, talking about what happened tonight. Don Serber, one of our favorite bloggers, is going to be checking in with us, and we'll get his input as well as maybe another guest or two that we may be able to line up. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. This is Silvio Canto signing off on January the 3rd, the Iowa caucus day. Talk to you later.